The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections, where every month we'll introduce you to people in the community that are making a difference. We'll also take time out to spotlight one of our volunteers of TRRS.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy,
located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Limp in
and leap out.
Our guest today is Gary Sims. He's the Director of Elections at the Wake County Board of Elections. Gary, thank you so much for being here with us.
I appreciate you having me here. I think this is a great opportunity to get some very useful information out to people.
I'm so glad that we were able to talk to you. We had someone else scheduled and it fell through, but I'm glad that it did because it afforded me the opportunity to have a conversation with you. As I was saying to you before we went on air, it was a young man and he just turned 18. His mother was concerned because he is blind, the voting process of how that would be. So I thought it would be a good show for us to have you come out and talk about the process itself, registration.
I think the gentleman you just referenced, I think he's probably the best example of somebody that we really want to get the word out to. So first of all, I'm excited that he's 18.
Yes.
And for the first time he can get out and vote. So I think especially when something's new to you, or maybe if you are visually impaired, maybe not only new, but you wonder about what other obstacles there may be out there. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can educate people and maybe take away some of those obstacles. So first I want to talk about a little bit about voter registration, if I could.
Yes.
So talking about this young man is having access to that registration form. There's so many ways you can get it. You can call our office and we can mail it to you, or we can walk you through where you can find it on our website. You can go to any Wake County Public Library and you can register to vote there and they'll get your form to us. If you're going to any assistance program, maybe social services, anything along that line, those are registration sources also. DMV. DMV is a great resource. When you go get a new driver's license maybe, or just an ID if that's what you need, you can actually register at a DMV location. They have online options through DMV as far as updating and getting registered. There's so many ways out there for you to get registered. You can come to our main office. We'll do anything. Our job is to make sure that people get registered and participate in the elections process. So if you need it mailed to you, you need to know where the resources are. If you need to know where it's at on our website, you can call us 919-856-6240. Feel free to call us. We're there to help you, and we're going to make sure you get registered. So registration, I think, is key. Let's get you registered. But let's say, okay, this Friday, that's the registration deadline for this upcoming election. Let's try to get it in there. That way everything's taken care of. We can get you registered. Registration form to you. A lot of people don't know, though, that we have early voting going on. So if you missed the registration deadline, I don't like advertising this too much because we really want to make sure people get registered. But once that registration deadline hits, we really want to advertise that you can also go to an early voting site and you can register and vote on that particular same day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you have to register and vote that day.
Okay.
And that's not going to be available to you on election day. Okay. So early voting is a really good option for you there. So registration, it's important. Really a good thing for registration is it gives you an opportunity to get your registration card, which is not required for voting, but it gives you all your jurisdiction information, your voting jurisdictions, lets you know where your election day polling place is. And some places actually use it as a form of identification for certain things, you know, whatever services you may need an ID for. So registration, number one. Then we're going to talk about the gentleman that now is going to go vote. There are three different ways this young man can vote. So number one, he can vote absentee by mail. Mm-hmm. I just briefly mentioned early voting. I'll go into a little bit detail on that. And then you have election day. Mm-hmm. In Wake County, we have 204 polling places on election day that'll be open. Election day is very special. That's where you go to your home precinct. Okay. Usually those are located within a mile or so, depending on where you live, not too far from your house. That'll be on your voter registration card, or you can search online and see where that's out. Early voting is a very special event. That kicks off on the 17th. The 17th, we're going to open 10 early voting sites. So if you're a Wake County voter, you can go to any one of our 10 early voting sites.
Okay.
Most of them are going to be open weekdays from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. every weekday. Mm-hmm. And then we also have weekend hours.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can actually go there. We're going to have your ballot for you. And that's the same location that I said that you can also register to vote if you missed the deadline coming up. Or you can actually update your address. Maybe you forgot to update your address. We want you to do that too now.
Yeah.
But also you can go vote there.
Mm-hmm.
One of them that I actually participate in is absentee by mail. I'm usually busy about this time of year.
Yes.
But number two is I like voting at home where I can actually mark my ballot because I like to Google candidates and issues and so forth and do the research on my own. And it just costs 50 cents to mail it back. So think how much gas costs or getting from point A to B. So you can literally fill out a request form from our office. And we will, once you get that back to us, we'll mail you everything that you need to vote. Now, that will take two witnesses, not to see how you voted, but to make sure that you are the person marking your ballot. They'll need to sign for that as well. Or a notary. A single notary can notarize that you are the person that was voting the ballot. So you have three different ways.
Right.
We're really working hard to take out any excuse anybody has for not voting.
Yeah.
But even more details on this young man we were talking about.
His name is Spencer, by the way. He loves to have his name.
Well, then we'll talk specifically about Spencer.
Okay.
So Spencer, but this is not just for him. This is anybody that may have visual impairment, somebody that may have even dexterity issues maybe, or somebody that may have some illiteracy issue where they are not able to clearly read a ballot. Since 2006, every county in the state of North Carolina has had a ADA-compliant marking device in your polling place. We always have it there. It's called an AutoMark. That device actually has so many options for voters. You can actually put your ballot in. Wake County uses paper ballots, and it's only a marking device. It's not a tabulator.
Okay.
But what it will do is it has controls on there. It has Braille guidance on those controls.
Wow.
You can put on headphones. It gives you audio commands or how you can mark the ballot, and it will read out the candidates for you. Whatever you need. Maybe if you're visually impaired, maybe it's something simply that you need the ballot enlarged for you. It'll do that. You can magnify it. It will invert the colors for you. Maybe that may be the issue. If you don't want the screen turned on at all, you can actually have it and just turn off the screen and then just completely work off of the audio commands. So nobody's going to see your ballot. You actually get to vote that ballot in secret. It's your ballot. Nobody sees it. So that's a service that's out there for everybody. Like I was saying in an earlier conversation, it even has a sip and puff device on it for people that may have paraplegics or something. Typically, people are familiar with how to use those, and they have their own device, but it'll plug in for that as well. So, great device. It is really not used very often. Our officials are trained on it. They can assist you as far as getting the ballot in, whatever you need. But what I'm going to talk about our officials also is if you have a disability, such as visual impairment or so forth, you can have anybody assist you. They can come in and they can help you any way that you see fit. Maybe you just need the ballot read to you. Maybe you just need some help filling in the ovals. So there's so many ways that other people can help you. But our officials can too. We have bipartisan officials out there. They are sworn an oath to help you out any way that you see fit that you need help with. So that's a great thing. And it may be something as simple as maybe you just need an escort to a voting booth. That may be the only assistance you need. You may need some assistance, somebody reading the ballot to you, or you may just need help, somebody filling in the ovals. But it is your choice, your way, the way that you want your vote to count. So you're going to get to vote just like anybody else. If Spencer needed his mother to go with him, his mother can assist him. Not a problem with that. Just let an official know you have somebody there that needs assistance. Or if you don't have somebody there to assist you, ask an official. Ask one of our precinct officials to assist you, and they're going to help you out with voting. So we really want to take that particular obstacle out for you. We have flat sheet magnifiers if you need that out there. We even have signature guides for people to help you out if you need a signature guide for whenever you first check in, whenever you go to the vote. So we really put a lot of effort into it because it's not just visually impaired. It is our entire community. We have elderly. We have people with needs, special needs. And I'm really proud of that.
Yes.
I'm very proud of what we do and that service because voting is not for a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
The voting is there for every United States citizen mm-hmm. that's qualified to vote, and it's your right. So we want to do everything we can to make sure that's open for every member of our community.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea that you had so much available for people that was blind and print impaired. I was not even aware of the auto mark that they had it at the Governor Moorhead School.
Right. The Governor Moorhead School, it is a great facility. That's why we put one of our auto marks there, because we actually have people from all over North Carolina attend mm-hmm. the school. So if nothing else, people can go there at least to be familiar with mm-hmm. the device. That way it'll help on election day. It doesn't matter how long it's taking you on the device. It can even speed up the when it's reading it to you. Mm-hmm. You can slow it down. It has so many different controls on it to mm-hmm. assist individuals. So what can we do? That's kind of the attitude we take mm-hmm. as far as helping our voters in Wake County. And like I said, our voters in Wake County are not just one group of people. They're every voter in Wake County. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure we're out there to help everybody.
Right. Wherever their voting poll is, there is this kind of equipment at each voter poll, correct?
No matter where you go. So if you go to an early voting site, which is one of your three options to vote, mm-hmm. we're going to have an automark there. Mm-hmm. If you go to your election day home precinct, we're going to have an automark there. Mm-hmm. So those are two great options for you. But I also really don't want to forget about absentee by mail.
Right.
Yeah, so we do realize that for some voters, there may be obstacles or challenges. Yeah, so absentee by mail is a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. And again, you can have somebody that you trust, mm-hmm. somebody that you know to assist you with that. I would like to think that you should be able to trust precinct officials. Like I said, we're mm-hmm. sworn to help out. Our officials are some of the most amazing people you'll ever meet. They're not just doing it because they have nothing better to do it. They
yes.
do it because it's their passion.
Yeah,
they care about democracy and making this happen. It's mm-hmm. not about one group of voters versus another. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we're helping people.
Right. For how many people that there are in Wake County, like you gave me the statistic.
Well, the registration deadline coming up this Friday.
Yes.
Is people are registering right now. You would not believe how busy it is. We were counting a while ago. We were getting scanned voter registration form or an absentee request about one every 2 minutes
Ooh.
Are coming in. That's not an exaggeration. But if you think about it, Wake County, by the time it's over, we're probably going to have around 735,000 Wake County registered voters.
Wow.
Wake County has over 10% of the entire state's voter population living right here in Wake County. Wake County has over 1 million residents.
Yeah.
So when you factor everybody that lives in Wake County, sometimes people get lost in a number. They're like, well, if all 735,000 people vote, I'm just one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everybody votes. So that kind of makes you more than just one. But even if you are just part of being one, that's one number that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't get out there and do it, then you're letting somebody else speak for you. You're letting people make decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So look at what impacts your life. And legislation that goes in as far as bond referendums, even, how money's going to be spent, where it's going to be spent, you get to have a say-so in whether or not you want to vote yes or no for that. Whether or not we have constitutional amendments that's going to be on this ballot, you get to vote for or against those constitutional amendments. And these things may or may not impact your life, but you get to have a say-so. And then our elected officials, they're the ones making some big decisions. If you like the people that are currently there, well, then vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like people there, well, then don't vote for them, vote for somebody else. So again, that's your opportunity to do something. And while you may feel like it's just a small voice, it's all those small voices coming together that really do impact how our life runs. So
Absolutely.
That's why voting is so important.
Absolutely. And we talked about the absentee. I always thought that if you do absentee voting or if you voted early, that somewhere, somehow, on that day of election, those votes are not going to count.
And I wish I could find that person that started that bad rumor.
Yes.
Like I said, I am personally an absentee voter. I want my vote to count. I'm a very passionate voter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I spend a lot of time. I really do a lot of research on people.
Mm-hmm.
But my vote counts. Those are actually the very first results that you see when 7:30 hits on election night and
mm-hmm.
you see the first wave of unofficial votes come in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are actually your absentee votes
that are
being reported. So, and your early voting votes that are going to be reported. The ones you see late at night that may come in near 11 and 12 o'clock at
uh-huh.
night, those are as those precincts are coming in.
Wow,
so
okay.
that's where you see that first big of results come in, because
yeah.
those are actually the very first wave that actually get counted. So
right.
it was, I believe it was the late 90s, maybe early 2000, but I believe it was late 90s. They actually took away the excuse. Used to, you had to be sick or out of the county in order to vote absentee by mail. So I think that was a wonderful thing that happened here in North Carolina, because now it's just a third option for you, and you don't have to have a reason for it. You can just simply request it, even for our military and overseas voters.
Yes.
There's even special options for military and overseas voters that may be out of country, or people, maybe a student living abroad. So it doesn't matter where you're at. We've taken out any excuse from anywhere in the world. If you're a U.S. citizen, we've taken out every excuse there is for not voting.
There's a way.
Exactly.
I also had a question when I was talking to you about people who have been in jail. I used to think they were not able to vote, but they can.
Right. Well, different states have different laws. In North Carolina, in particular, if you're currently serving as an active felon, active felon. Active felon usually means you have a probation officer, you have a parole officer, and you're serving a particular time. If you're a convicted active felon, then during that time period, you are not eligible to register or vote. Okay. So I really want to make sure that's important. But there's a second part that's also important about that, is that once that sentence is done, you're eligible to register and vote again. So it's not a permanent situation just because you may be having an issue and may have a felony and you're trying to fulfill your commitments while you're on probation or parole. But once you're done, just make sure you register to vote again. As long as you're no longer an active felon, you can vote just like everybody else. So it opens right back up to you.
Okay. Again, we wanted to just make sure that we let people know that the deadline for registering to vote is this Friday, October 12th.
That is correct. It is the 12th. And like I said, there's other options out there.
Yes.
But remember, give yourself the guarantee.
Yes.
You know, go ahead and get registered, because if you want to vote absentee by mail or if you want to vote on election day, no matter what, you're going to have to register by the deadline. So right now, your key job right there, if you're registered and if you are qualified to be registered, then get registered. Go to one of those resources I was talking about. Give us a phone call, 919-856-6240. 919-856-6240. Feel free to call us. We're there to help you, and we're going to make sure you get registered. So registration, I think, is key. Let's get you registered. Whatever you need to do, make sure that you get it into us.
Okay. And one more question before I let you go. We were talking about the elections and how important they are for you to vote. I only thought about the presidential election, how important the presidential election was. But like we were talking, the midterm elections are very important, and there's so many other elections that take place that we should vote on.
Absolutely. Most people think, I hear it all the time, I vote in every election. I've learned over time that means I vote in every presidential election. And the reality is, it's not just presidential elections that are going on. We have odd years. We have municipal elections. That's where you'll vote for maybe your mayor's or your city council races. And then we have primary elections that come up in even years. And those are just to narrow down the political party's choices that'll go on the November. So, you know, depending on where you live at, what jurisdiction you have, between presidential elections, you could have 3, 4, or 5 elections in between that one time that you thought that you voted in every election.
Right.
And remember, these small elections, they're just as important as the big elections, because decisions are being made at the local level, you know, at the lower government level, that people don't really realize.
Yeah.
These midterm elections, their legislature makes laws, and, you know, and they're elected every 2 years. So, and then we have county commissioner races, we have Board of Education races, we have sheriff's races. There's so much going on this year. There's so much on that ballot, but it doesn't matter what you see. Every election becomes important, because every election directly impacts your life, where you actually get to say something. And yes, maybe your candidate doesn't win. Maybe what you want to vote for or against doesn't work out the way you voted, but that should never stop you, because you had a say-so. You were one of the people that had a say-so. And if that candidate or whatever you were voting for did win, well, you were a part of that. So no matter what the circumstances are, I know in my job, I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm out there, we're engaging, we're trying to do everything. So for me, I just haven't figured out why people don't vote. And maybe it's just because I'm so much into it. You know, like I said, I'm the machine. I'm not part of the political process. We're here just to make sure democracy keeps happening. So whenever we go out and put on a big show and nobody shows up, that's always disappointing. So we really want to make sure that people are just aware, informed, and get out there, do what you're entitled to do. You're entitled as a U.S. citizen to participate in the elections process. So why not do it?
Absolutely. Registration. this Friday, October 12th. Any last words you want to say, Mr. Gary Sims?
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here. I think no matter how many people this touches, I think if we get one person to register, if we get one person to vote that wasn't going to do it before, then I feel like this has been the best thing ever. So I always like to end with, no matter what I'm doing, is if you have moved since the last time you voted, make sure you get in touch with us. We need to get you updated. We need to get you registered.
That's right. Gary Sims, Director of Elections at the Wake County Board of Elections. Thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you.
We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
It's now time to spotlight the Volunteer of the Month. This month's volunteer is our own Kurt Benroot. How are you doing, Kurt?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself there?
I'm doing very well. So glad to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad you invited me. It's always a pleasure to get together and hang out a little.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your background, Kurt. You're an actor, right?
I've been in some plays here and there over the decades.
Yes.
I went to NC State, got a couple of degrees in English over there, and met a fellow named Ed Funkhauser, who, when he started this up back in 1983, called me up and asked me if I'd like to be part of it.
Wow.
And so I said, what do I do? He said, read the newspaper.
So you've been here since the beginning.
I was here for the first couple of years.
Okay.
And then I was away for a couple of years when I got a little too busy with work and graduate school, and I wasn't able to schedule anything regular. I did some fill-ins as a substitute, and then Annette Henry was the coordinator in those days, and I had to tell her at one point, I said, Annette, I'm afraid I can't work it in. So I was probably away for about 5 years.
Okay.
And then once I got over some hills, then I descended upon the place again.
Mm-hmm. And you've been here ever since?
That's true.
And I've been here only about 6 or 7 years, but I know that you are a veteran here when I came in.
And I've been watching you grow.
Yes, I think I flourished a little bit.
Oh, I remember when you were in here for, at some point they made you go through the new volunteer training.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you already knew everything that I was trying to teach you.
Yes, but I had to formally go through everything like everyone else. So it was cool to watch you in action as a trainer.
Okay. And actually, since then, I've gotten good at it.
Yes, you have. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So how did you become a trainer? He trains our new volunteers that are going to be on the air, that are going to be reading, doing programming. He trains them. So how did that start?
Okay, well, I guess it must have been 6 or 7 years ago, maybe more. Mm-hmm. I suddenly found myself with some extra time on my hands, and so I asked then board president Richard Dunnigan, would he like me to get involved in new volunteer training? And before I could even put the punctuation mark at the end of the sentence, he told me yes and when to be here. And prior to that, he and May Tran, our director, had handled the new volunteer training. Mm-hmm. With my indicating my availability, it suddenly became me and May Tran.
Yes.
Right. And I believe it was me and May that were doing it when you arrived. And then she asked me one day, was there somebody that I felt could work with me as a team so the both of us could do it, so she could, you know, tend to other things.
Yeah.
And Laura Arwood happened to be right there. She had been my reading partner for a while. Yes. And I asked, was she interested? And she's a retired educator. She said, sure. Mm-hmm. So she joined up, and that's when we started getting good. Because Laura, being an educator, believes in writing stuff down, typing it up, and giving out handouts.
Right.
And the handout that's laminated and on the table back there, that's her work.
Yes, and we're so glad to have her work.
Well, absolutely. Now, she stepped away from here a few years back, but Sharon Silcox had joined us as new volunteer trainer, and about the time that I decided, well, you know, let's get it back up to three. Mm-hmm. Susie joined us, and then it wasn't but just a couple of months till Sharon said that she was going to stop doing new volunteer training.
Yeah.
So as of this last time around, we've got another third person with us, and no offense to anybody else, but I do believe now Jennifer Green has joined me and Susie.
Yes.
I think the team is the strongest it's ever been, and I think they could get along without me, but I'm certainly not going to tell them that.
No, don't ever tell them that. We always have a good number of volunteers come in. You always, no matter what event you're at, you always get volunteers in.
Yeah, there was a year many moons ago when Linda was still here, we used to have a volunteer appreciation picnic, and they gave out little certificates, and they gave me a certificate for recruiting.
Exactly. And I don't think anybody has beaten you as far as recruiting. When you look back at the application processes of people, how they found out about us, your name is literally always there. It's like every other application, your name is there.
Uh-huh, got it.
So,
and even if I didn't win in quantity, you got to remember, I recruited Bob Martin, so I win,
you
hands
win,
down,
hands down,
in quality.
Michael Jordan in the house. You have your own show that you do.
I have one show that's twice a month.
Okay.
Okay, it's movie and theater previews.
Right.
And this gives preview information about movies and local live theater type events that are available with audio description. And I let them know what they are, what they're about, when they're happening, how to get more information. And then ones that I can, I get reviews of those, and I put those in a separate podcast. So the preview show is only 29 minutes, and I first started that up back when Brooke was still here. Linda was the director, Brooke was the assistant director, and Brooke and I, back in those days, it was on cassette tape.
Right.
But we worked out what the movie and theater previews was going to be. And back then, there were very few movies and even fewer plays that had audio description. And so filling up a 29-minute program, I could put in whatever I wanted to. Okay. Nowadays, just getting in the little blurb about every movie and which theaters are playing which movies and how to get the schedule of the show times for the movies, and then the blurbs about all the plays, when they're playing, how to get tickets, and it's done.
It's done.
20 minutes is full.
It is full.
I didn't get to mention my other show, which is the sci-fi.
Yes.
That is to say the science fiction short stories.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's part of my recruiting tools is that people that I meet, and I think they've got a good voice, I tell them about the science fiction show and would they like to come down here and record a few stories.
Wow.
Okay. That's the bait.
That's the bait.
Okay. It's like once I get them here, I record their stories and then I let them know when that show is going to be aired and how they can find it in podcast, and I send them an MP3 of it.
Okay.
And then they feel like they're already part of this.
Right.
Even though they haven't really applied to be part of it.
Right,
okay.
Absolutely.
And you'll see me coming and going with,
always.
With strangers.
Yes, right? Yes.
Sometimes it's somebody that's not a brand new stranger that you've seen me have here before, but it's because I've got them participating in something with the eye of converting them someplace down the road.
Right.
I let them know that how much I feel fulfilled doing this.
Absolutely.
And let them know that they can be just as fulfilled.
Absolutely. And we thank you so much for doing that and being the great person that you are.
Well, you're entirely welcome.
Kurt Benroot is our Volunteer of the Month. Thank you so much, Kurt.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've run out of time for this edition of Community Connections. We hope you enjoyed it. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy.
Located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Limp in
and leap out.
You've been listening to Community Connections. I'm Shadate Hargett-Hill. See you next time on the radio.